Hello, hello, hello. I'm your Betty Page, hostess with the mostest, Michael Munoz. And welcome to In Yo Mouth.
In Yo Mouth.
I'm the queen of food who's always in the mood.
To lick it right, lick it good, show you how to
look. Oh, God, that's good.
I want to know what you eat from the streets to the sheets.
So open wide, honey.
I'm coming.
In Yo
goosebumps.
Hey there and welcome back, folks. Once again, I'm your hostess with the mostest, Munoz. And can you feel a brand new day? Can you feel a brand new microphone? Yes. Hopefully the dulcet tones of Munoz are sounding extra delicious today because for my birthday, I bought myself something real fancy and I've been playing around with it. And this is like its inaugural like voyage or whatever, whatever we're calling it. So hopefully this is working out. And on the back end, when I listen back, this really was worth the money. So shout out to you, Shure Microphones, and not a sponsor. I am really excited for this new endeavor. We are coming up on 3 years of Munoz being what? In yo mouths. I can't believe it. Mouthfuls. Yep. We're just going with that title for y'all out there, The Mouthfuls. And I really, really just can't believe it that in, what is it? Maybe less than 2 weeks, this will be 3 years of this podcast. And all of you send me so much love on the internet. I know you've been buying the merch. I'm still waiting to see the photos because I know it's been received because I track every last one of them. Send me the photos at InYourMouthPod on Instagram or InYourMouthNYC at gmail.com. I am happy for a repost because as you know, these days, content is not easy to come by. Plus, I would love to see your beautiful faces in the merch. Like, why not? You spent the money. Show it to me. Other than that, I'm feeling good. It's a beautiful day here in Times Square in my 120 square feet of Times Square. And I mean, it's freezing in New York, but that's par for the course. It's winter. And I am so excited for today's guest because it is, I mean, I don't think y'all are ready. And no shade to Dr. Zagragan out there because she was the first doctor on the podcast, right? She is always welcome in my home. But sometimes we need a doctor that's really, really familiar with the lives of us LGBTQ people. Please join me in welcoming the one, the only, the very TikTok famous Dr. Carlton. Say hi.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you so much. It's a beautiful day in Southern California.
I love that. Yes. Dr. Carlton is coming to us all the way from San Diego. So I love that. I love that. Thank you for being here.
I'm happy to be here.
So for those of you out there that don't know, and you probably already do, because like the entire world, including myself, even though I'm not very present on TikTok, is on TikTok. Even if you're on Instagram, people just keep reposting these TikToks. And Dr. Carlton is no stranger to the game. But Dr. Carlton is a gay gastroenterologist who was raised in an uber conservative tobacco town in the deep south, but somehow made his way to training at the Mayo Clinic for a top-tier medical education. There's a Golden Girls quote in there regarding the Mayo Clinic, and I know you love the Mayo, the Golden Girls, Dr. Carlton.
I do, yeah.
You and me both. We'll talk about it.
Sure.
He landed his dream job in San Diego, where he is married to an amazing guy and has two kids. Yes. While he serves the entire community's medical needs, he is particularly proud to serve the local LGBTQ plus community in San Diego as a resource for healthcare without judgment. He stumbled onto TikTok during the pandemic and realized the need and the hunger for anal sex education. I mean, hello. And not just from the LGBTQ family, but also women and straight men interested in but play. So I am really, really excited for today's podcast, and I can't wait to get into it. But before we do anything, Dr. Carlton, in the grand tradition of In Your Mouth, I need to wish you Happy National Chocolate Day.
Yum.
Well, Chocolate Cake Day.
Oh, even better.
I'm like, there's just so much information. I'm like tripping over my words here. Are you a chocolate cake kind of guy?
Oh, I love chocolate cake. What's your favorite chocolate cake to make?
My favorite chocolate cake to make, Black Forest.
Ooh.
Black
Forest. She's complicated. I like that.
Yeah, she's a complicated bitch, honey. she's got layers. She's got layers and drama.
Awesome.
And yours, what's your favorite chocolate cake to eat?
Oh, wow. I'd say German chocolate cake.
All right. All right. You know, pretty standard. I love it. You know, the chocolatier, the better, I would say. And since you're in San Diego, I mean, I know you're a doctor, but it's legal there. There's all like the edible chocolate, if you know what I'm talking about.
There's definitely a lot of that around here, for sure.
I know. I know. I can't wait for it to be legal here in New York because the drinking will be done and over with, you know, and therefore the weight gain will be gone as well.
Well, as you know, the thing about those edible things is they kind of increase your appetite and you end up making up your calories in other ways. So just from the munchies.
Yeah. Sometimes. Yeah, you're right. You're right. I don't know. There has to be a balance somewhere for sure.
Yeah, definitely. I definitely get most of my calories from alcohol.
For sure. Even though I am in the last days of dry January during after my 40th birthday, I didn't do a full dry January because my birthday. Yes, In Your Mouth listeners, we are still celebrating my 40th. Get over it. Don't at me. But my birthday is the first week of January. And so I did that, drank my face off, and then no more. Quit it.
Right? There you go.
Just to slim down, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Cut your calories, girl.
Cut my calories. And Lord knows I'm not even eating any chocolate cake. But for those of you out there that are, happy National Chocolate Cake Day. And moving right along to this day in gay history. And did you know, Dr. Carlton, that in 1972, the New York City Council vetoes a proposed gay rights ordinance that would have prohibited discrimination against gay men and lesbians in employment, housing, and public accommodations?
Wow.
Yeah.
I was 7 days old.
Wow. Look at that. And you don't look a day under 28. So I don't know how that is possible. Well, with the new things happening in politics, I thought this was really lovely and just like, you know, a nice little history throwback. But speaking of gay history, do you have any intel on when the first penis went into a butthole?
Oh, that goes way back.
I mean, who thought of that? Who? I want to meet the man who was like, you know what? I'm going to put my pee-pee in your butthole and you're going to like it.
Exactly. But it goes back to ancient times. So, you know.
Yeah. I mean, these are the things I think about, like things like that. And like who invented like Ziploc bags or like where did glitter come from? Or like, this is how I'm spending my day.
That's awesome. Yeah.
Dr. Carlton's like, what did I get myself into? Oh my God. No, but I thought today would be a little different because, you know, what we put in our mouths directly affects what comes out of our butts or what we decide to put in our butts. Wouldn't you agree?
Absolutely, for sure. Yeah, I mean, one of the biggest things that I come across on TikTok is a lot of controversy on whether or not somebody should clean out before they have anal sex.
Yeah.
A lot of the younger crowd is very, oh, you shouldn't do that because of all the flora and it's bad for you. And I'm here to tell you, after 20 years of GI medicine and being gay for almost 50 years now, I've never had a case of someone coming in who, oops, they douche too much. So I don't get too bent out of shape about people cleaning out for anal sex, but it definitely makes it easier to have anal sex if you have a healthy diet.
Yeah.
So lots of fiber, you know, plenty of fluids. If you eat well, there's less residue left there to clean up, and it makes it a much easier and better experience for everybody involved.
Yeah, but well, let's get into that and let's explore mm-hmm. that for a minute, because I feel like I eat very well. And, you know, I have friends who eat very well, and their bowel movements. Yeah, we're talking about it in your mouth, listening. Yeah. So buckle your seatbelts, because we're about to get down and real dirty. But, you know, like I go to the bathroom many times a day. I have a friend who eats very well as well and only goes to the bathroom once a day. And I don't understand the mechanics of it. Like, why is this?
Well, it goes back to everybody, although we have the same basic functional anatomy, we all function a little bit differently. Some people's, you know, your normal is what's normal for you. So if you're going three or four times a day and that's normal for you, well, that's just the way you're made. Some people go once a week. I couldn't function that way, but
I mean, no.
Yeah. I'm a get up in the morning, have a cup of coffee, and within 15 minutes, look out, because I'm in the bathroom.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I could set a clock. I could set a clock from the moment I get up to the moment that coffee touches my lips. And oh, is it a joyous, joyous moment.
I was just going to say, yeah. And one of the reasons why that happens is when you eat something or put something in your stomach, like coffee, it sends a signal from your stomach to your colon to empty, to make room for the food that's coming in. So it makes the stuff that's there already exit, so that you get rid of the waste and you're able to take more in. So that's called the gastrocolic reflex. And a lot of people think, oh, I ate and 5 minutes later, I was in the bathroom. It went right through me. Well, no, it didn't go right through you. It takes several hours to go right through you, but it stimulates a movement to make it feel like it's coming right through you.
Yeah, I'm that guy. I'm totally that guy. Like, I can't drink juice because it goes right through me. And my doctor's like, that's not the way it works, Michael. And I was like, I promise you, I intermittent fast, doctor, and I haven't eaten in 14 hours, and that juice went right through me. And he's like, that's still not the way
that works. Totally.
And speaking of diet, you know, all these fad diets are around, and I didn't even think about this till right now. All these fad diets are huge now, between intermittent fasting and the keto diet and, you know, the slim fast diet or trim spot. You know?
Right.
Like, how is that really affecting your body and your movements?
Well, depending on what's in each diet, there are definitely major effects. If you go to more of a keto diet, a lot of people get constipated because they're not really eating, you know, a lot of fiber with a keto diet. And so they end up getting constipated and have to take something to help them move things along a little bit. The problem with dieting overall, these fad diets where you intermittently fast or you do keto all the time, as soon as you change your habits, things are kind of going to go back to the way they were before. So it's kind of a good jump start for people. But the only long-term change is going to be on something that you can propagate in the long term. So, you know, I've been on all those little shake diets and things like that, and I'll lose 20 pounds and I'll look fabulous. And then like 3 months later, I'm eating McDonald's again, and here I go, you know? So it has to be a lifestyle that you maintain.
Yeah, and that's kind of what I was getting at as well, mm-hmm. because we're in January, you know, I was just talking about dry January, and, you know, people start the new year with new year, new me, new diet, this and that. You know, Weight Watchers comes out with a new program at the beginning of every year or just before the year's turn. And then people start these things and then fall off of them. And totally. So it's really interesting to hear how your body responds to that and how things are moving through you, for sure. But speaking about diet, you know, you are a family man. I'm kind of curious. And you have mm-hmm. two children that are well into their teens, if I'm not mistaken, correct?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right.
15,
I love all of that. Right. What's for dinner? I'm curious. Like, what's for dinner at the Dr. Carlton house?
Well, my husband's a cook, so he's making baked chicken legs tonight.
Yeah.
And some brown rice and some vegetables.
I love it. Love it. Love it. Love it. Love it. Well, folks out there, if you're like me and alone, I thought it would also be great with a Valentine's Day right around the corner to kind of gear this towards, you know, a little self-love. I've been preaching a lot of self-love. You have to love yourself, right? To like, you know, especially during these times to keep your mental health in shape and yourself in shape. So why not attribute that self-love to like, you know, a little bit of sexual health as well. And Dr. Carlton is the expert. And you were talking about douching before, right? And and whatnot. How much douching is too much douching?
Well, I think as with anything in life, moderation is key. You know, if you drink too much alcohol, you're going to get really, really drunk. If you do too many drugs, you're going to have major problems. If, you know, if you do anything to the extreme, you're gonna have issues, right? So I just recommend as much as it takes for you to be clean and prepared. Yeah. And listen, and the whole end of this thing, one of the things I always tell people, hey, is listen, do your best, but in the end, shit happens. That's where shit comes out. So don't get too upset or embarrassed or frustrated if it does, because that's a natural process of our bodies. So you kind of have to keep that in the back of your mind. You can do the best you can, but it's not always going to be perfect.
I love that. Yeah. What made you want to go and be a gastroenterologist? Like, why not like plastic surgery or I don't know, pediatrics or, you know, like I'm always very curious, especially about like gastroenterologists and gynecologists. Like, what made you want to be like, I'm going to stare at butts all day?
Well, I kind of have a little bit of a joke that goes with that. One of my first practices was in Palm Springs, and it was a very, very high-end Beverly Hills type practice. And I had this woman roll up in her Rolls Royce, and she got out, and she came into my office, and she says, "Oh, Dr. Carlton, whatever would make you want to be a gastroenterologist? How could you do that all day?" And I said, "Buffy, there's about $1,000 up everybody's ass. You just got to be man enough to go up and get it."
Oh.
And she thought that was hysterical. That's not why I do it. I don't do it for the money, but I just was kind of, you know, yanking her chain a little bit.
or her chain or pulling her colon or however we want to reference it.
Right. How I got into it was basically I did a rotation in a rural county in South Carolina with a family practitioner, and he had his own colonoscopy set up there because they don't have specialists in these small little towns. So he said, here's a patient, do a colonoscopy, you know, try it for a couple of minutes, you're going to fail. And then in 2 minutes, come out and get me and I'll laugh at you and tell you how to do it right. And then it was just, he came back in 5 minutes later and I was already where I needed to be, where he would have been at that point. And he says, "Oh my God, you need to do this for a living because you're really good at it." It's kind of like playing video games with much higher stakes. You know, you get to prevent cancer. You get to spot a cancer. You know, you get to give people their parents or their grandparents for 20 or 30 more years, as opposed to losing them from colon cancer. So I get to prevent cancer. I get to help people. One of the big things that I've learned in taking care of a range of people, anywhere from paupers that are homeless to billionaires, is basically if everybody could eat, sleep, and poop, they would be happy.
Yeah. Tell me about that. Like, especially these days when people are overeating, not sleeping, and the bowel movements, who knows what's happening? Knows what's happening there?
Exactly. So I kind of fell into the idea that maybe I should do this. I did my first rotation as a visiting medical student in med school at the Mayo Clinic. And I had no idea that Mayo was the number one place in the world for gastrointestinal care. Mayo, I don't know if you've ever been there or know much about it, but Rochester, Minnesota is a tiny little town in the middle of a cornfield. I mean, there is nothing. Minneapolis is 2 hours north and there's nothing to do. And if you don't have transportation, the only thing that's there is the Mayo Clinic. So I would go to work. I would study really hard. I didn't have any trouble to get into because, first of all, it's a very straight place. But second of all, there just wasn't any, you know, there wasn't anything to do. So I focused on medicine. I really impressed them.
There was no Grindr or Scruff.
Neither. No, back then there wasn't. Yeah.
There was only those AOL chat rooms.
Exactly. That's exactly right. Yeah. Minneapolis M4M.
Yep. I know them well. I'm old enough to know.
A little phone bone was about all I could get back then, I guess.
Yeah. But, phone sex was big back then.
Totally. Yeah. So, and that was before camera phones. So I can't imagine. Wow.
Yeah.
But thankfully there was no cameras back then. But you know, I really focused on doing a good job. They were really impressed. They really liked me. And they said, hey, you not only need to come back here and do internal medicine residency, but we want you back for fellowship too. So I'm one of the few people that they've ever offered a combined residency and fellowship in the beginning, you know, and I couldn't turn it down. I mean, it's 6 years of winter because Minnesota is not the most fun place to be in the wintertime, but how can you beat that name? You know, Mayo Clinic's the best in the world.
Yeah. And like I said, there's that great Golden Girls episode. It's a Christmas episode where they get held up at the mental health center by the Santa Claus. And then there's the guy who's like a chronic liar.
And, right.
And yeah. He says, hi, I'm Dr. So-and-so from the Mayo Clinic. This patient is very...
It's an airplane episode too. I mean, airplane, the movie, the first movie on airplane.
Oh yeah.
All these mayo jars and they called the guy at the Mayo Clinic and it was just a guy with a bunch of mayonnaise jars.
I haven't seen that movie in forever. When I think of the Mayo Clinic, that like that soundbite from the Golden Girls, I watch them every night before bed.
Me too. That's me. I fall asleep to the girls.
Oh my God. Me too. You could set a clock to how long it will take me from the beginning of the theme song to when the episode starts to when I'm out like a light.
Me too. Same way. It's funny.
I knew we were kindred spirits. We love butt. we love butt sex and the Golden Girls. But moving right along to this like TikTok moment you're having, and you're answering all the butt sex questions in the world that anybody wants to hear, and then some. How did that come about?
Well, one of the things that we never got in school is gay sex education or even butt stuff education. You know, if you're lucky enough to get sex ed in school, when we were in school, it was, you know, totally penis badge, you know, throw a condom at you and that's it. If you're lucky to get that.
No, I went to the bathroom during the eighth grade, Our Lady of Perpetual Help, eighth grade. I had to go to the bathroom. And when I came back, the conversation about masturbation had just ended. And I was like, wait, what? What were we talking about? No joke. I'll never forget it.
Yeah. So not only did we not get it in school, but even in training as a gastroenterologist, I never got a gay or butt stuff sex talk in college, in med school, in residency, or in fellowship. It actually ended up being that in fellowship, you have to give a talk every month to the entire staff. And I was the only one who would ever talk about sex because there was such a hunger and lack of information for it. Like, especially because I'm focused in diseases like ulcerative colitis and Crohn's disease. There's so many people out in this world who have those diseases and nobody's ever talked to them about sex or if it's safe to have sex or if it's okay to have sex or how to have sex right back there. So that really kind of awakened me to the idea that there was a need. And then when, you know, this whole pandemic thing happened and suddenly I have a bunch of time on my hands because I'm not running to the hospital as much or to my clinic as much because we're doing a lot of telemedicine. I realized, hey, there's, you know, what can I contribute to TikTok?
And I'm an OnlyFans.
Right, exactly. Right. What can I contribute to TikTok? So one day out of the blue, I put up a two-part series called Butt Stuff 1 and 2. And it was about the part one was about cleaning out and lubrication. And the third part was about relaxation to make it happen. And I looked at my TikTok account the next day and I had 50,000 new followers and 1.5 million hits on these videos. And I was like, whoa. And I thought, oh, it's going to be a bunch of gay dudes. So I'm looking through the analytics on the profiles and it's mostly women. And that was quite a shocker to me. I didn't realize that there were that many women who were as interested in butt stuff as we are.
I know.
And it wasn't just women. It was straight women. I mean, straight guys too, you know? So, yeah. So I realized there's a hunger for the education. I started doing little series on it, having to walk a very tiny, thin line so that I don't get kicked off of TikTok, because there's only certain things you can say, and you have to use a lot of innuendo. And, the response has been overwhelming. And that's really the part for me that's been the most rewarding about this whole thing, is that there are so many people who come to me saying, oh my God, where were you when I was 20 years old? Oh my God, I'm 50 years old and I didn't know that. How did I go this long without knowing that? Yeah. I've even had one or two people that found me on TikTok who were from the Middle East. They had some issues going on with their butt in the Middle East. In certain countries, if you are found out to be gay, you could be executed.
Yeah.
So there was a couple of guys who were like, I've got something going on with my butt. I'm afraid if I go to the doctor, they're going to turn me into the government. I'm going to get executed if there's something wrong with my butt. So I'd say, well, go over to my Instagram, send me a vanishing picture real quick. And yeah, I usually don't do something like that, but for you, because you're
in life and death
situation. Let's take a look and see what it is. And it would be just like a hemorrhoid or something. And I'm like, oh, okay. The fact that I was able to relieve your mind of, dying by execution just by telling you had a hemorrhoid and not some sexually transmitted disease, man, the international impact of this stuff has been mind blowing.
Yeah, and that's absolutely incredible. I've actually heard you tell that exact story on other podcasts out there as well. And even now hearing it again, and I've heard it before, I'm really floored. I'm just like, whoa, that must be really, really intense, because you've set out to do this. You just set out to educate the kids in a really, really fun way. And and all of a sudden it's this very serious thing, coming at you. So it's really quite amazing. I'm curious to hear what your most asked question is on TikTok about butt stuff.
I'd say that I'll give you three. Number one is it safe to douche?
Okay.
Number two is, how do I get rid of hemorrhoids?
All right.
Or make them not happen. And number three, I have bleeding back there and I don't know what's happening. What should I do?
Oh, so yeah. We've gotten serious. I was hoping it was going to be I sat on a traffic cone. or something to that effect. Wow, that's really, really interesting.
Yeah, these are the questions that get repeatedly asked, though. A lot of people have problems with fissures, with hemorrhoids. A lot of people are unsure about cleaning out or how to do it right. So,
no one told me. I found out after college, and I was like, wait a minute, me and my first boyfriend never cleaned out, and then all of a sudden, now I have to do this. How does this even work? How did that even work?
Right, exactly.
I never felt like this was an issue, and now this is all of a sudden an issue.
Right, exactly. And some of the people on TikTok who go on there and say things about that era, doing that sort of thing, have no medical education at all. And some of the advice they give kind of cracks me up a little bit. And I'll just kind of put a one-liner in their, their comments on their post and say, I'm a Mayo Clinic trained doctor and I disagree with you. I've been doing this for 50 years and don't worry, it's fine.
Maybe you should be like Gordon Ramsay. Have you seen the Gordon Ramsay TikTok?
Oh, yeah.
Where he's like, he does the duets and he's like, what are you doing? What? No. Well, that's not true. No. Why are you doing that?
Well, I have to be careful, because one of the things that people really like about my TikToks is that I come across as really relatable and not some stuffy know-it-all doctor.
Yeah.
I try to make it a little bit more human than that, but that would be a funny way to do it.
Yeah. I mean, but in a jovial way, not like he has created an entire brand of being a little aggressive
aggressive. Yeah.
I'm trying to be kind here. Shout out to you, Gordon Ramsay, because you're listening, I'm sure. What I mean? So butt stuff 101, right? Because I know there's a lot of ladies out there that love the butt sex. And I know some of you are listening. I will not call you out. you know, some of the straight men out there that I know that listen, love a finger or a small toy up the butt, you know, so we've douched out, but like prep wise, what else should we be doing to like really prep ourselves in a healthy way to really, you know, take that traffic cone if we wanted to?
Great question. So the anatomy down there is really key to know for you to be able to understand how things work. If you're directly looking from behind, you just see the outside of the anus. So,
we would be looking through our legs into a mirror, right?
Well, I'm talking if you're looking at someone else.
Oh, got you.
Yeah. So if you have a partner and you want to butt play with them, so the anus itself is a circular muscle. So it's made out of, on the external sphincter, a striated skeletal muscle, which you can voluntarily control. So you can clench it and release it and clench it and release it, okay? So like if you rush into the bathroom and you're afraid you're going to not make it, then you can clench down to keep it from things from slipping out, right?
Yeah, sometimes that doesn't work. I know.
No, it doesn't work always. No, it doesn't work always. It definitely doesn't work always. There's an internal sphincter that's just a little bit more in, that's made out of smooth muscle, which is not voluntary. So you can't control that. So you actually have to manipulate that so that it relaxes.
Is that what we call the second hole? This mysterious second hole that everyone, if you have a really long penis, apparently you can hit this.
Well, basically one of the most important things with that opening is you can really relax it to take something in. So I have an exercise on my Instagram called the butt clock. So you think of that circle of muscle as a clock. If you lubricate your finger and gently slide it in to say 3 o'clock and press over to 3 o'clock. So go in centrally about an inch or two and then press over.
Like
to 3 o'clock
and
hold it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Over and out and hold it there to just press it out. What's going to start happening is that muscle is going to start relaxing and expanding so that tiny little circle becomes a bigger circle. And then you move over to 9 o'clock or 12 o'clock or 6 o'clock. And you just keep that pressure over to those sides.
Depending on your time zone.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, I think I just made the sign of the cross, but anyway, so with the relaxation, you can start taking things that what you would normally not be able to take, you know, right off the bat. So it's important to be very patient and gently put things in there. You don't just want to ram something up somebody's butt because it's going to tear their butthole. That's what's called an anal fissure.
Can you say that again for all the tops out there, all the quote unquote power tops out there? Just, I feel like they need to hear it.
Don't just ram it in there. You got to play with it a little bit. You got to relax it. You got to massage it a little bit.
You got to lick it before you stick it. There's a whole song, y'all.
Exactly. Yeah. So what I tell people is in the beginning, you know, clean out. Lubrication is key. I prefer either water-based or silicone-based lubes. If you're going to use a toy, then silicone on silicone is not a good idea unless it's a really high quality toy because of the tendency for the toy to degrade over time. And you don't want to lose your expensive toys. So lubrication, stretching, like I told you, just pressing out. That's the technique we use in the operating suite to dilate somebody's butt open if they have like something accidentally slide up in there and they can't get it back out. Wow. So we stretch the hole, reach in and pull it out.
Oh my God, we're gonna.
You know, you've heard people like they end up at the hospital with a cucumber.
We're gonna talk about it. We're gonna talk about it. We're totally gonna talk about it. Oh my God, wait a minute. I you know what? We'll just talk about it because there's a whole section coming up just about that.
Okay.
I personally just don't like fingers. They feel like aliens to me. Like I feel like it's weird. It's just it feels really.
You're
weird.
Not alone.
You know, thank you. You know what? Thank you for letting me know that.
Yeah, you're not alone. There's been a lot of people who's like, oh, whatever you do, don't stick a finger in me. Don't do that. So, you know, using a toy, or you could even use the head of the penis to do the same thing as what I was talking about with the finger. But, you know, loosening things up is key. And I tell people, especially, you know, for the bottom to really get comfortable, because those first couple of minutes, listen, I've been on both ends of this before. those first couple of minutes can be harrowing for a bottom. You know, it could be, depending on what you're going to take. I mean, if you're going to take a big one, boy, you better be relaxed and ready and everything better be loose, because it's going to be a nightmare if you don't.
Yeah.
So I tell bottoms to take control in the beginning. You know, sit down on it if you can, if you can physically do that. Gently slide down. That way you control how fast it goes in, how deep it goes in, without you getting hurt. And as soon as you take a deep breath and relax, and you're able to just kind of release all that tension, then, you know, you can go to it.
Yeah, I love it. And I mean, all this butt talk and taking control is really putting me in a mood. But yet we're in a pandemic and I am in 120 square feet by myself. But I sure as heck will be lighting the candles and pouring some non-alcoholic wine for myself a little once we get off this.
That's awesome.
Dr. Carlton. But speaking of taking control, I think now would be a great time for me to take a little control and take you, Dr. Carlton, into my favorite part and the audience's favorite part of the podcast, a little something we like to call Food News Update. Food news.
Ooh, honey, you ain't ready,
girl. Spill the tea.
News update.
There's a company that will pay you $500 to watch Netflix and eat pizza.
That sounds like a great job during the pandemic.
Right.
You mean I could have gotten paid for all that I just did for like the last 10 months?
Exactly. I mean, who needs to look at buttholes when you could just be watching? Bridgerton, even though, have you been watching Bridgerton?
I haven't started that one yet.
There's a lot of butts in Bridgerton. Some good ass, Doc. There's
right,
some
hey.
Good ass in Bridgerton, right?
Good, because I think I've seen everything else on Netflix. So.
Oh my God. Yes. So this comes from a friend to the pod, Thrillist, not really, but Thrillist.com. Thank you for this article. Casino review company Bonus Finder is taking a brief departure from its usual lane and seeking one qualified person to review Netflix shows and take out pizzas. The so-called professional binge watcher will be given $500 and asked to get to work. Granted, work is watching Netflix and ordering takeout pizza. Isn't that awesome?
That is awesome.
Yeah, perks that come with the temporary gig include a complimentary Netflix account, pizza delivery and movie snacks budget, a $500 payment for the review content, dedicated content on Bonus Finder website for the winner to report back on their findings.
Wow.
Doc, I think with your TikTok following, you could be a top contender for this job.
Well, after I've gained the COVID-19 pounds, I probably should not eat that much pizza, though.
Yeah,
sounds great.
is that not part of the clean butthole diet?
I got to get in shape for summer, because I'm planning on this thing being over by then, hopefully. So,
Oh my goodness. Listen, I'm here for this. If you get the job, I at least get my 15% finder's fee.
Sounds good. Deal.
And if I get the job, well, I could sure use the $500 with all the food work that I lost. And I think, you know what, Bonus Finder, call me. A new series inspired by Julia Child's life is coming to HBO Max.
Very cool. Love me some Julia Child.
Do you remember The French Chef?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And like, did you watch like cooking shows growing up? Like
totally.
Graham Kerr, The Galloping Gourmet.
Yeah. I think she was on PBS or something, wasn't she?
Yeah. Yeah. That all was PBS content back then.
Yeah. Yeah. She was awesome.
Yeah,
I was kind of got a lesbian vibe from her.
Hello. She was definitely a lesbian. Definitely. And she was definitely a lesbian top. Shout out to all my lesbian tops. She was not being gentle back there.
Nothing wrong with that.
You know, she knew how to work it. I trust and believe that she knew how to work it before she wasn't gentle, to say the least. Well, Julia Child made her television debut back in 1963 with the beloved series The French Chef, and now nearly 60 years since its premiere, the show will be revived in a fictional format for HBO Max. It's an 8-episode drama titled Julia, and it'll star Sarah Lancashire. Sorry, Sarah. I messed up your name. I'm no good with names. And is inspired by Julia Child's extraordinary life and long-running television series, The French Chef, which pioneered the now popular genre of cooking shows. Look at that.
Very cool.
I mean, talk about new things to binge, by the way. You know?
Yeah.
So put that on your list. First Bridgerton. Maybe Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, if you're not watching.
Yeah, it's really funny. I'll binge watch cooking shows that are like the Great British Bake Off is one of my favorites, right? And I'll be on a low carb diet trying to get ready for a vacation, and I'll sit there and watch 12 episodes of people baking cakes and bread and stuff, which is what I don't eat when I go on those things.
Right. It's true. I love the Great British Baking Show as well. And I find it very interesting. And even with myself, I kept asking myself, why do you love this? Nothing happens. No one's mean. Everyone's so nice to each other, right? The music's so lovely. Everyone's like, are you okay? Oh, let me help you. Yes. Like there is very little drama. Nothing happens. You know?
Like that would never happen here. Everybody would be like conniving and trying to spite everybody else.
Yes. Taking your ish out of like the quick frosting machine or
turning off your oven.
Yes. No, I don't understand why we love it. Or maybe that's exactly why we love it, because nothing happens and everyone is so nice. And so it's just like a nice little meditation moment.
Yeah. Sometimes you need a little nice.
Yeah. Well, listen, I'm really excited to see what HBO Max has done with the life and times of Julia Child. And I think you are too, Dr. Carlton. We will be binging.
Totally.
Internet villain runs hot pizza underwater to cool it down. Science or insanity?
That sounds like insanity to me. That sounds like a big mess.
Thank you, Popular Mechanics, for this headline. I've had to stray away from Delish.com since they've started charging after you read 3 articles. And, you know, we on a budget these days. I needed to afford this new Shure microphone. So, but Popular Mechanics is coming through. So apparently the internet is ablaze from a Redditor's account of their husband's cursed pizza behavior, to quote Popular Mechanics. To cool down his pizza quickly, user Daddy Ravioli's husband rinses it with water.
Wow.
Why?
Yeah, I know, right? That seems like it would totally destroy it.
Like, what's the point? And being from the land of pizza here in New York, mm-hmm. like, it's true sacrilege. What are you doing?
Yeah, just let it cool off. Come on.
Like, yeah, can you not wait? Like, or something. And isn't part of the pizza experience to like burn the roof of your mouth so like that top layer of skin just kind of hangs off and you're really uncomfortable and it's really gross and you're sitting there being like pulling it off?
I see, that's a universal experience because I have that too, definitely.
Everyone, right? And things you shouldn't be putting in your mouth when that happens, and maybe you will agree or disagree with me, is penis.
Right. Definitely. You don't want any sort of tears in there.
Hello. You see, everything comes back to you, Doc.
It does.
I love that there was 2 pizza food news updates here. There's really nothing more to say about this than like, dude, what are you doing? And with that, I think this is just a great way to end food news update. How was that for you, Doc?
That was cool.
Right? Yeah, listen. Yeah. The only news I think there should be these days is food news.
Right. After everything we've been through in the last 10 months, definitely.
I mean, we don't even talk about it here on the pod. We can't. We just can't. We are surrounded by it. But I want to get back to the weird things that you may have found up a butt, or that the internet posts that people have found in people's buttholes.
Definitely. Sure. Yeah. I've had calls at like 6 o'clock at night from the emergency room. Oh, there's a guy with a candle in his butt. Can you come get it out? or I've had
a candle seems reasonable. Now yeah. let's talk about what kind of candle. Was it like a hurricane candle, or was it like one of those stick candles for a candelabra, or was it like a Yankee candle in its glass and yeah. casing?
that would be impressive if it was a Yankee candle. That's a lot to get in there. Yeah, it was just a long stick candle for sure. But yeah, I've seen pictures. I've seen x-rays of light bulbs in people's rectums. Oh. I don't know how that happens. Oh. Like, how do you get in there without it shattering?
You really have just jumped the gun, because I was going to save the light bulbs to the end.
But that's my
question. How do you get it in there without it shattering?
Well, you have to be very relaxed and lubricated first. And first of all, I'm telling no one to do this.
No, In Your Mouth listeners, we do not
stick light bulbs.
You sticking anything else up your butt but an approved toy, or maybe a penis, okay? Or your own finger, and gently and carefully, please consult your doctor.
Yeah, but somehow these things end up there. I've had, you know, one of the most common things I've seen with people is it's usually a straight guy. Straight guys in particular, they don't want to have toys around their house that their wife might find. So they use other things in the place of that. I had an elderly man who came into the hospital one time with a plastic Yakult yogurt bottle that his wife uses to drink the probiotics.
Oh yeah.
And they're like 3 inches long. They're plastic.
Yeah. And they have a nice curve to them. I could see yeah. that being enjoyable. Yeah.
So he was using that, and it got away from him. Ooh. And he went up to grab it with his fingers, and he pinched it. And when he pinched it, it shattered the plastic and made it flange out like a fish hook. But he couldn't pull it back out because it was like literally lodged into his rectum. So imagine having to go to the hospital, especially now in a pandemic, with a plastic bottle up your ass.
I can't breathe, Doc. I can't breathe. Like, my entire body has been cleansed.
Yeah, I also got called one time to the hospital. They called me and said, "Hey, there's a man who has left lower quadrant pain. He had a CAT scan, and on the CAT scan, right where his rectum and sigmoid colon come together, there's an ulceration. So we went ahead and started prepping him, and we're going to let you do a colonoscopy tomorrow. But we, you know, even though I know you like to usually talk to them first and order their preparation, we just did that for you." And I'm like, "Okay, well, that's unusual." So I walk into the guy's room to meet him, and his wife and his two kids are in there, and he looks really nervous. And I looked at him and say, "We're going to do the colonoscopy tomorrow. You're not going to feel a thing. You're going to be asleep. Don't worry. Everything's going to be fine." So he rolls down the next day to have his colonoscopy, and he pulls my head down to his ear and says, "Doc, whatever you find, you tell me. You don't talk to my wife. You tell me." And I said, "Ooh, this is getting juicy. Okay." And then he pulled my head down to his ear a little bit more and said, "Hey, just so you know, last week, about 5 days ago, I did some drugs and got really high." And okay. And so I'm thinking in my head, well, what could he have done that could have, you know, maybe he did cocaine or something and it did some ischemia in his colon, and that's why he has this ulcer there. I don't know. God, you know, he's not being honest. And then I give him the medication to knock him out, and it's kind of like truth serum. The stuff we used to use. This was a long time ago. And I got up and around this colon, and just as I was coming out is the only time I recognized that there was this big ulcerated area right where it showed on the CT scan that looked like somebody had ripped it and it ulcerated and started healing back over. Luckily, it wasn't completely torn, because I could have actually made that worse by doing the procedure. And immediately I just bent down to his ear and said, "Okay, what did you stick up your ass?" And so I called the surgeon, and he never told me, by the way. He never told me. I ordered an emergency CT scan to make sure his belly was okay, and it was. And I called the surgeon, and I said, "Hey, you know, Doc, there's this married guy, and he did some drugs. His wife is out of town, and now he's got a near perforation in his colon." He's like, "Why is it always straight guys that do this stuff?"
What was it?
Well, you know what? That guy got the hell out of the hospital. As soon as he woke up from his colonoscopy and figured out that everything was going to be okay, I never saw him again. He never came back. Like, he just bolted. Like, he figured out, okay, I'm okay. Everything's going to be okay. I'm getting the fuck out of here.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah. So, yeah, there's all kinds of adventures. And, you know, and one of the things about toys we talked about earlier, without a base, without a trace. So if you don't have a nice flared wide base and it's not a toy that's designed for butt play, butts are hungry and they can suck that right up and it can get lost. So make sure that it's got a wide enough base so that it doesn't get lost. And that when you use something that it's designed for butt play is awesome, but don't do something stupid, especially during a pandemic, and have to go into an emergency room while it's already full of people who can't even get in the door anyway.
And you just gave me the title of this episode, Butts Are Hungry with Dr. Carlton.
There you go.
I found this article from the Huffington Post UK from a couple years ago. And the 11 weird things doctors have found people have stuck up their butts. Okay. One is a leg of a bed. Okay.
Wow. So, that's impressive.
Well, fine. But now your bed only has three legs. Cement mix.
Oh my God.
What? According to this medical report, the couple explained that the man with the concrete in his anus had asked his partner to stir up a batch of concrete before asking him to pour it in his rectum via a funnel. Oh God.
Oh God is right.
A hard-boiled egg. All right. A rat. Let's talk about all this because you hear about all these like old like Hollywood myths that so-and-so sticks hamsters up his butt. And whatnot. What is, what? Why? Why would you do this?
Yeah, I know who you're talking about.
Yeah. Why? Allegedly, right?
I have no idea why anybody would do that.
You know?
Allegedly, yeah. I have no idea why. I mean, that's just...
cruel.
It's creepy, it's cruel, and it's dirty, you know? So, ugh.
Yeah.
Some dirty as in not clean.
Not clean. And the poor animal. Why? Like, no.
I know. Yeah. It's cruel.
No. A few small balls. Well, that's nothing. Fine. A screwdriver makes sense. A letter opener. Now, why? What?
Like, what possessed them to do that?
Like, what made you pick that letter opener up and say to yourself, this is a good idea. it goes back. Body spray.
Hmm.
Okay. Well, I get that. A knife? No. Mm-hmm. No.
Don't want to cut that.
A key and a beer bottle.
Hmm.
Wow.
Beer bottle and a key. Wow. I guess bad decisions come in the middle of the night sometimes.
Bad decisions come in the middle of the night, Dr. Carlton. I just can't thank you enough for coming on the pod and, you know, talking about butt stuff with me and talking about my butthole because, you know, Lord knows no one else is talking about it.
We'll give it the praise it deserves.
Well, you know, she is tight and right. Oh my God. Before we close out, I have noticed I'm a little obsessed with dirty Twitter these days. And I see a lot of these boys getting new buttholes for some reason. There's a doctor running around New York doing all sorts of like butt surgery. What are they doing?
You know, I'll have to check that out. I haven't seen that particular particular thing going around, but I know that you have to be really careful with what you do back there because you don't want to damage that forever.
Yeah, I mean, and these aren't boys that are like fisting and like need some rejuvenation or anything. It's just like, yeah, I went in and Dr. So-and-so gave me a new butt. And I was like, wait, what was wrong with it to begin with?
I know, right? Why would you need that? Yeah. Like, especially if you're not having issues.
Right? I don't know. You know, thoughts on things like fisting and things alike?
Well, that's definitely an art. And you have to know what you're doing. I have a lot of friends in the fisting community, and I take care of some porn stars in the area that are into that. And it's pretty impressive. You know, I've scrolled through Twitter before too and seen some of the things they do. And it's like, wow, how do you know, that's like past the elbow. How do you do that?
I don't know.
So I actually reached out to them and and asked, you know, what do you do differently? And, you know, their diet is c- completely different. So they're not eating like 24 hours before. They're cleaning out 6 to 8 hours before, and then they're doing it again an hour before, and then again 15 minutes before.
And I hear some people also do an Imodium too. Like they'll take an Imodium to like power bottom out or just
to kind of slow down your motility. You know, when it comes to fisting, you need to have someone, first of all, who knows what they're doing, because you can get really hurt that way. So an experienced top when it comes to fisting is going to know how to not hurt you and how to read your signals. Like if you look like you're uncomfortable or if you're not having, or if something's painful, then they know to back off. So, and they also know you go in one finger at a time and you don't just try to jam the whole fist in there at once. So it's a very slow process. It takes experience. And I definitely recommend for people not to be on any substances when they do that, because substances can obscure your ability to notice whether or not you're doing something wrong.
Yeah. You know, is that
pain receptors?
Yeah. Is that diet, quote unquote, this like diet of like not eating and then douching and then popping an Imodium? Is that like, how good or not good is that for you?
Well, I mean, if this is something you're doing once in a while, it's no big deal.
You know, moderation.
It's no big deal. Yep. Yeah. Moderation. Yeah. Yeah. If you can't live your life like that every single day. Mm-hmm. As long as you're doing it for these kind of special occasions, it's fine. And like I told you, when it comes to your colon is 5 feet long. So if you're cleaning out the last 8 inches of your colon for sex, the next dump you take is going to replace all that bacteria that you wiped out, you know, with douching. So that's why I don't get too bent out of shape about the whole microbiome.
The whole flora controversy, because In Your Mouth listeners, for the straight, females and males and others who may not be having butt sex like that, that's the big controversy within the community, I would say, is that like cleaning out ruins the flora, correct?
Right. And what I'm here to say is you have hundreds of billions, if not more, bacteria in your colon right above where you're cleaning out. And it's just all going to come down with gravity. So don't get too worked up about losing your flora. Now, if you're having a lot of weird problems with your bowels after, when you're doing this frequently, then that's a sign you need to back off. But if it's not affecting your day-to-day life and your bowels in general, then you don't need to worry about it.
Yeah. And, you mentioned fiber at the beginning of the podcast. I noticed there's two different types of fiber, psyllium husk and acacia fiber. Is there a difference?
Well, yeah. Well, there's soluble and insoluble fiber. Soluble is going to completely dissolve, whereas insoluble fiber is going to be more of a nice bulking agent to keep things.
Did I mention one soluble and insoluble? I know nothing here. So
So psyllium husk is something that's not going to dissolve. So it's insoluble.
Fiber dissolves. Is that how that works?
I have to look at the acacia fiber itself.
They promote it for sensitive stomachs is what I've seen. And it's why I take it.
Yeah, it's probably like the one thing about psyllium husk is it can cause a certain amount of bloating and gas. So the acacia fibers are going to have less of that.
Oh, good to know. Good to know. Well, before we close out, Doc, if you had one piece of advice to give the kids out there about, you know, their anal health or butt sex health, what would that be?
Well, I think there's one for the gay community, and there's one for the non-LGBTQ community. For the gay community, I think it's important to make sure that you get your HPV vaccine, because human papillomavirus causes anal cancer, and there's a 70 times increased risk of anal cancer when somebody has HPV and HIV. So it's really important, if you're HIV positive and you have HPV, to get checked at least every year with an anal pap smear. If you're younger, if you can get the HPV vaccine, which is available through insurance, is up to age 26. It's technically, you can get it at any age. It's really only effective if you haven't had a lot of butt play before. So the theory is that you probably would have been exposed to HPV by now if you have been playing this long. But I don't see any problem in protecting someone from developing anal warts or anal cancer, because anal warts are a horrible thing for the gay community to deal with. I mean, it puts you out of commission. It's not pleasant to go through treatment for that. So, you know, HPV vaccine for the gay community, for the straight community, butt play does not define you. It doesn't define your masculinity, your femininity, your sexuality. We all have a butt, and there's a lot of pleasure and a lot of nerves that come with that. So don't limit yourself to missing out on something really pleasurable and enjoyable.
Exactly.
Just because of some stigma.
Yeah, exactly. And if you have never had your prostate milked, Jesus, that is an experience.
Right.
It's like none other. Oh.
Yeah, I tell people that I never knew what made my eyes roll back into my head until somebody did that while they were giving me head. It's like, whoa.
Yeah.
Different planet kind of stuff.
Yeah, just rub it in, Doc, that you're married, that you're there. Meanwhile, I'm sitting here alone, you know, let the little violin start to play. Really quick, and not like really, really quick, because we have to close out. But sure. You mentioned vaccine, and this is super controversial. I know you just got the vaccine. Quick notes on the vaccine for those people out there that may be scared or questioning this COVID-19 vaccine. You have had it. Congrats. How are you feeling? Mm-hmm. Give me the tea.
Honestly, I got the first shot. I did the Pfizer vaccine. My husband and I did the Moderna study to get it approved because we wanted an end to this thing. I got placebo, and I knew I got placebo because I didn't feel anything when they injected my arm. So I probably just got a saline shot. But when I got the Pfizer vaccine and I was unblinded and found out, yes, indeed, I was a placebo. My arm felt like somebody punched me for like 24 to 36 hours. And that was it. And then 3 weeks later, I went and got my second shot. And I've heard a lot of people say the second shot gives them more side effects, headache, fever, body aches, you know, but just for like 24 hours. I didn't experience that. I had actually less arm pain in my second shot than I did on my first shot. So I sailed right through it. Now, some people, I'd say about half the people that I talked to say that they had some flu-like symptoms for just 24 to 36 hours after their second shot. But I mean, that's a hell of a lot less than risking your life from dying from COVID. I mean, we're coming up on 400,000 deaths in this country from this disease. And you never know who it's going to affect. I mean, yeah, mostly older people or people with underlying health conditions are the people who are dying from COVID. But I've seen 40-year-olds, 30-year-olds in the ICU on ventilators. You know, this is nothing to play around with.
No, not at all. And it's just, I know I have these conversations with my friends out there, my family out there that, like, you know, just people are scared of the unknown. And
sure.
So it's good to have at least your opinion in the medical field and as someone who's gotten the vaccine, you know, hopefully to take a little bit of those worries away, or maybe the question would be answered.
Absolutely. And being part of the study was also helpful for me to really realize how tight everything was run with those studies. It was 100% legit. And I was very impressed with all the work that they did to get it done so quickly.
That's amazing. Well, congrats on getting the vaccine. And thank you so much for that little addendum at the end of the pod. I can't thank you enough for being on the pod today. It has been so much fun and so great to connect with you, the one and only Dr. Carlton,
thank you.
That we're seeing all over the internet today. It has been a grand pleasure. So thank you for giving me time out of your very busy schedule. It is greatly appreciated.
My pleasure to be here.
Of course. In Your Mouth listeners, you know what? I mean, it's January. We're all trying new things. We're all getting into new grooves. So why not stick something up your butt safely? You know? Why not? Try something new. Dr. Carlton, give them all the social handles so they can follow you, please.
Absolutely. Well, my two main accounts are my TikTok and Instagram accounts, and they're both DoctorCarlton, Dr. Carlton. It's all spelled out.
That's it.
Yeah. And then my Twitter handle is Dr_Carlton.
amazing, amazing. Please go out there, show him all the love. You know what? Or if you're a little curious and you don't want him to know you're watching or anybody, just, you know, slide on in and see what he's got to say, because he's giving you all the information the right way. Today has been so, so much fun and so educational. I gotta hop off this thing and get a little self-exploration done, if you know what I mean. So I'm just going to leave it there and say thank you for listening to In Yo!